Welcome everyone to Closing the Skills Gap with Microsoft Learn and Microsoft Certification. My name is Allison and I'll be your moderator for this session. Our speaker today is Alex Payne, and Alex is the General Manager in Worldwide Learning here at Microsoft. Now Alex is going to be presenting soon, but before we start, I just want to remind you that we'll be hosting a Q&A session with the presenter after this session. So feel free to add your questions in the Q&A window and we will answer as many as time allows. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Alex.
Thanks a lot, Allison. Let me introduce myself, Alex Payne. I work in a group in Microsoft called Worldwide Learning. And what I wanted to walk through in the next few minutes is just how Microsoft approaches closing the skill gap. Quickly, our agenda is I want to talk a little bit about the reality of tech today, what we're seeing. I want to then shift to talk more about what has Microsoft been doing, how we've evolved, and quite frankly, how we're bringing skilling to market today through both Learn as our skilling platform and also our certification portfolio. So with that, let's just jump right in. So it's unprecedented times. And I don't just mean with some of the realities of COVID-19 and et cetera, but as we think about how companies are going through digital transformation, that has created tech intensity. Let's talk a little bit about what we mean by tech intensity. When we think about companies, the companies that all of you work for or consult with or are looking to get hired by, many of them are trying to be much more competitive and creative and much more thinking about the users first in what they do and how they evolve. And many of them are going through digital transformation. Microsoft is helping quite a few companies do just that today. And quite frankly, what that means is companies have to evolve what they're doing with technology also to drive that digital transformation. And that requires tech capability. And that tech capability doesn't always exist in the employees and in the partners that in the ecosystem, if you will, to drive that digital transformation. We know from the World Economic Forum actually did some research lately that when they surveyed companies, they found that some of them have as many as 50% of their resources knowing that they need to be reskilled. That is the skills gap. And what we're trying to do is basically enable people to have the skills to help drive that digital transformation. So tech intensity also comes with the adoption. And what we mean by that is just think of something. You have a problem. If there's technology that you're familiar with, you may actually try to use that to go solve a problem. We find many times that, let's say, for example, a customer becomes super comfortable or super familiar with something in Azure or M365. When they go to the next business problem, they tend to find ways to solve that with Microsoft technology. And so it really is around driving digital transformation and having those skills are being driven really by having the tech confidence. We often say that skills build confidence. We've already argued that confidence with these skills can actually help drive productivity. And that's where we see companies experiencing innovation and growth, i.e. the digital transformation. So that's why we're approaching this. What I wanted to do is talk a little bit about how we do it or what we're doing to actually help all of you gain those skills. One of the first things we've done is we think about how we evolved skilling over the last couple of years is we've gotten really focused on role-based skilling. We used to, if you think historically, Microsoft, I worked in SQL Server back in the days of SQL Server 2000, SQL Server 2005, and we would issue books or we would do training on how to use this product. Well, the products have become much more expansive, much more integrated, and the capabilities have just become much stronger. We've geared more and the industry has geared more towards roles. So now it's more around Azure developer or M365 Teams administrator. But we don't just sit, like I always joke, sit in Redmond and say, hey, we should go create skilling for these roles. We actually do a ton of research. And when we do research, we look at things like LinkedIn, obviously. We look at resources like Burning Glass, or we talk to customers. We talk to a lot of customers. We consult with analyst firms, Gartner, et cetera. And what we're doing is we're identifying what are the job roles that are necessary to be successful in today's world in tech. And sometimes we have to do that often because sometimes there are new roles that are evolving. That same World Economic Forum report that I talked about referenced that there are students today that in 10 years, so let them finish school and then 6-7 more years, 10 years from now, the roles that they'll hold don't even exist yet. And we've seen that if you look back historically as well. When we look at something like a database administrator, we've had those for many years. Databases have been around for quite some time. But think of the role of DevOps. You know, we had operations, we had developers, and the role of a DevOps engineer is one that didn't exist 10 years ago. So that's why we go do this research and we consult with customers and partners. And then actually when we've identified roles and we've said, we're gonna go now build skilling on this, we'll actually bring people that play that role today. We do it virtually now in the world we're living in today, but we've actually used to bring them and put them in rooms, and we would take customers, partners, MVPs, Microsoft certified trainers, and Microsoft employees. But the key thing there is we didn't just do it with Microsoft folks. We actually took feedback from the industry, and we would identify the skills necessary to be excellent at that role with Microsoft tech. So again, using something like an Azure developer, we'd get a bunch of Azure developers in a room and we would walk through what are the skills that they need to be successful. That informs something called the JTA, the job task analysis, informs a master list of skills. Now that we know the skills that we need to teach or that we need people to have in their capability set, we actually can then build learning paths to help drive that skilling. And so at the end of the day, what we'll take this list of skills, if you will, and we will create aligned experiences. And what I mean by aligned is that we first make a big bet that no one learner represents how all learners learn. Everybody learns differently. If I could ask people physically on the call right now, how did this person best learn? How did this person best learn? I'd probably get a mix of answers. You get folks that actually do online training at night. Others want to go to a class. Some want to read a book. Some just want to play in hands-on labs. There are many different ways that people learn. And quite frankly, more and more, we see people using multiple modalities at once to actually go and skill. But what we're focused on is making sure that the same skills are being taught in all those modalities. And because we have that aligned training, we actually can have assessments to actually validate with certification that those skills exist. So that's both how we approach it and then how we go build the skilling. I wanted to take a moment and just walk through a little bit more about these aligned experiences in a digital first world. One of the things that I've been super proud of at Microsoft is as we've been building training, just, you know, kind of capital T training over the last couple of years, we've been building for a digital first world. So a lot of what we're doing was not something we had to retrofit or speed up now that we've all been virtual, quite frankly, for the last many weeks and might be for some time. We were trying to drive digital first world experiences for self-paced training. So what is self-paced training? Think of it as you're sitting in the Azure portal and you're thinking about, hey, I need some information about how to configure load balancing. You could jump to Microsoft Learn and take a very short self-directed digital skilling learning path experience. And that's what we deliver through Microsoft Learn. Now, Microsoft Learn is more than just a learning platform for self-paced learning. We'll talk about that. We're actually going to do a quick demo in a little bit. But I just wanted to introduce you to what these different modalities are. The other one we really push on are around training events. So something like Build Itself is where we actually go train people on the skills necessary to align to our certifications. Now, with self-paced learning and also with training events, we do train beyond just our role-based certifications. We definitely do training there, but we also do it beyond that. And that's important because you may not want to go become an Azure DevOps engineer or a D365 finance functional consultant. If you do, we have training there for you, but you may just want to learn something around Azure Synapse, or you might just want to go a little bit deeper in a particular framework. And that also exists as a self-paced learning on MS Learn and also through our training events. Build being one, But many of you on the here, I'm sure, are also familiar with Ignite, Inspire, Ignite the Tour. And more, those events are becoming core training events for Microsoft. There's been instructor-led training for quite some time, and we still build through that same process the training that shows up inside of our learning partner ecosystem. We're lucky that we have one of the largest ecosystems for learning partners in tech, period. We relish that, we recognize it, we try to make it be very successful. One of the areas with which we do that is through driving great content for our Microsoft certified trainers. These are the hundreds and thousands of trainers around the world that train on our behalf, our shared customers. But again, aligned. So going back to the previous comment, when we build training, we expect that what shows up on Learn to teach for a particular role, what may show up in an event, or what shows up through the instructor-led channel, it's aligned, because we do think people are going to blend all of these scenarios. And lastly, certifications. I talked about certifications very quickly on the previous slide, but this is an area where we are consistently trying to drive assessments to ensure that the skills taught or the skills gained by the learner, we can validate them, and then we can honor them with a certification. And that's also an area which we have pushed quite heavily over the last couple of years to have more online capabilities. So even though a lot of the testing centers may be closed right now, we still are certifying many, many individuals via online experiences. So what I wanted to do is actually turn it over and show you a little bit of a demo and how all of this kind of comes together on Microsoft Learn. So what you're looking at is Microsoft Learn. Microsoft Learn is the front door for skilling at Microsoft. And so what we have on here are things like certifications, learning paths. Here's a quick view of some learning modules that you'll see right on the homepage of Learn. What I want to do is I want to jump in and show you certifications. Here you're going to see admin, data scientist, architect roles. We're going to click on Azure Developer Associate. Here, let me just pause real quick. I want you to see we have exams. We have information about what's required for Azure Developer Associate. And as I scroll down, you're seeing online training and links to instructor-led training. Quickly, I'm going to jump into a learning path. Learning paths are made up of interactivity, text, video, sandbox environments. Quickly, we're going to show you what it might look like to create a VM using a Learn learning path. As you see, there's video, there's text, and here are instructions of how inside of the Azure portal to go and create a virtual machine. This is not your subscription to Azure. This is a free sandbox environment, where I'm now creating a Linux virtual machine and with instructions for how to go do so. So I'm learning how to actually go do this in Azure right from a free subscription. Here I'm creating a, like I said, a Linux VM with all of my information and instructions here natively inside of Learn. Learn also has gamification. So at the end of this learning path, I want to go and do a knowledge check. So I'm going to check a couple answers here, and I'm going to check, see how I did. Oh, look, I did great. I got 400 points. And so those points actually go back into my Learn profile, and where I can keep track of what learning modules I've completed, what badges I've earned, and trophies. And trophies are essentially just graduated badges when I've completed the full learning path. A quick overview. Learn is the front door for all skilling at Microsoft. It's where I would go find information on ILT, online learning paths, certifications, and it's all built on the Docs platform. So that was a quick look at Microsoft Learn. I would encourage you, many of you are probably sitting in your homes in your virtual offices with two screens. I encourage you to go pull up Microsoft.com/learn. Create a profile, log in, and go become familiar with Microsoft Learn. One of the areas that we focused on in that demo was showing you a little bit more about certifications. And I wanted to just show for you real quickly kind of our portfolio of certifications available in the market right now. I'm going to build out and show you the ones I'll highlight that are more focused. Some are directly, some have a close association with the more developer-focused certifications. But what you'll see is that we've got a broad portfolio from Azure, modern workplace, business applications. We have role-based, that's the associate and expert levels. We have specialty certifications. And then we also have fundamentals. And so the fundamentals are the more kind of core building blocks of the technology. That's a new category of certifications we've introduced over the last couple of years. One thing I just want to talk about is how often we update these certifications. And so a couple of points I would make. The JTA process I talked about, we run that every year for every single cert. We want to look and see, well, how is the role evolving? Are there new roles coming? We'll capture that separately. But for the roles that are in market, we will every year run that same process, bring the same resources in, and actually look to see what skills are changing. At a minimum, we review the questions, the coverage areas on a quarter, and we update them, quite frankly, about every 2 months. The purpose of that is a lot of these certs, all of these certs, are based on technology we're covering certifications for technology that's cloud-based. As you all know, the services underlying it are changing almost on a daily basis. So we do strive very hard to keep them up to speed. So that's a quick view of where we are with our certifications. To go get more information on certs, just type Microsoft.com/certification, and you'll be able to go in and, like we showed you in the demo quickly, but you'll be able to filter by technology, filter by role, filter by level, et cetera. And you can also then go see the learning paths to prepare for those. So the reason we wanted to highlight both learn, the learning paths, certifications, is because at Build, we're also running a cloud skills challenge. So there's a new capability with Learn around collections. What I would just quickly describe to show you what a collection is, think of a Spotify playlist or a YouTube playlist, or if you're as old as I am, think about when you made a mixtape back in the day. But what you did is you went out and you chose your favorite songs or your favorite videos, and you created a curated collection. We offer that capability on Learn today. And so what we have done is we've built a selection of collections aligned to the Build focus areas where they're out there today. And if you go out and actually go through a learning path that is that collection, so for example, there's one on Azure Serverless, there's one on Power Platform, you can go take that collection. And if you complete that collection, you'll then also qualify for a free certification exam that, again, from that list I was showing you on the previous slide. So I encourage you to go take advantage of that, and you can do that at the URL below. And so with that, that's essentially all the content we wanted to cover. I know we want to turn it back over to Allison because I believe we've gotten some questions coming in, and we want to go ahead and field questions. So Allison, what you got?
Thanks, Alex. We've been having a great chat with everyone. So thank you for all your questions. Please keep them coming. Our team is working to answer them. We do have a few questions, Alex. Could you talk a little bit more about the difference between fundamentals, role-based, and specialty? Because I think that's new for a lot of folks.
Yeah. So the way to think about it is, I'll start with fundamentals. It's basically validating foundational understanding of the Microsoft tech. So, for example, Azure Fundamentals, what it is it's going to teach you across the product what is there, what the capabilities are, how it works, and then we're going to validate that you have those skills through the certification. They are not required, but they are great for people maybe entering into a flow of where you want to go to the role base. So, again, we talked about we've really oriented our skilling to be focusing on role-based, so Azure developer, Microsoft M365 security administrator, like I'm just quickly naming off a few that were on that slide of 38 certifications, and those are more industry job role focused, and so they're longer, they're more in-depth, they're going to teach and cover much more skills than obviously you would find in fundamentals. And ultimately, it's so that you can go play that role of the Azure developer or the functional consultant inside of D365. We've then introduced a couple specialty certifications. We have two. One is running SAP on Azure, And another one is IoT. And it's really about deep technical skills and an ability to run industry solutions, including some of the third-party solutions with Microsoft platforms. And so kind of think of them as they build on top of each other. But I do want to highlight there are no requirements to take fundamentals. And so we actually start to see more that role of someone who's kind of on the business and the tech. That's really where it's a sweet spot for fundamentals.
Great, thank you. Another question that's coming in, and we've been hearing a little bit of questions about this, is how would we think about, you know, is Microsoft going to be putting out certifications on all topic areas, or do we kind of make a selection? And then if there's not a certification for it, what should someone do?
Great. So we're not going to try to focus and hit every single role in IT. I don't think that's where we want to focus our efforts. What we do, when I talked about that market research that we do around roles, we'll tend to do where is there, a common, like, we know we're going to hire a whole bunch of database administrators. We have a history of having SQL DBA centric kinds of certifications. We still need, you know, data engineers and data administrators on Azure. There is a critical mass, so we're going to go focus there. We also think there sometimes it's in the evolving areas. And so like Azure Data Scientist is an example where we know that companies are needing data scientists, they're hiring data scientists. And so we felt it was worthwhile to go build a focused learning path and certifications for that particular areas. One of the questions we get is, hey, is it only on Microsoft tech? Well, as you know, like with Azure, there's non-pure Microsoft tech. Python is an example. And so our certifications are actually teaching you how to play that role. In that example, the data scientist on Azure. And so we're going to teach Python to use it on Azure, or we're not going to teach you how to, you know, deploy and configure SAP. We're going to teach what you're going to need for SAP on Azure. So it's not just limited to Microsoft tech, but it's really in support of playing that role while operating Microsoft tech.
Great. And then the follow-up to that was, if we don't put out a certification for something, are there options for folks?
Yeah, sorry, I completely forgot the second part of the question. Thanks. Absolutely. So there are over 1,000 modules on Learn today. And I know that we have seen a 25% month-on-month increase in the amount of users just since February. And what you see in that usage is going in deeper into learning paths and modules around, we call them, the catchphrase we'll use is scenarios. We have role-based and we have scenarios. And scenarios, those go on, not infinitely, but quite a long tail, if you will, of just training that's available in those scenarios that are not aligned to certifications or learning paths. And again, it's all using the same, in the case of Learn, it's all using Learn. So the interactivity that you saw in the demo with sandboxes or text and video and interactivity and knowledge checks, that's available to both training for certifications as well as just the scenario-based training that's also out there.
Perfect. Great. We've seen a lot of questions come in about COVID-19 and how Microsoft is responding. There's been a lot of response from the company, and we have folks that are saying that they're wanting to schedule exams but couldn't find that a testing center was open. What are some of the things that our org has done in response to COVID?
Yeah, so the kind of the most immediate one is we've worked with our testing provider to provide more online capacity. Now, I don't think it's possible or a fair expectation to say, hey, we didn't know this was coming. We're all of a sudden but almost overnight, all physical testing centers were gone and everybody was just going to shift to online. So what we've been doing is working with our provider to provide more capacity, and we've increased it amazing amounts. I don't want to put specific percentages on it, but the amount of additional capabilities we have for online testing has been pretty amazing. Now, we know people still have needs. So what we've done is we've actually put in some extensions in some other programs so that we could try to release the pressure valve of someone saying, well, hey, but I've got to go get this certification, either because it's because of a partner competency, or I've got some certification that's retiring, or, Yeah, it's pretty much it, inclusive of even what we've done for our own employees. So I think the combination of all of that is hopefully creating some pressure relief, but also just net new capabilities available for online proctoring.
Great. And then could you talk through, there's been a few questions about, you know, the value of certification in the marketplace and whether someone's either a seasoned developer or potentially a job seeker. Like, what is the value that Microsoft certifications bring to individuals?
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know that I got this in a well thought out order, but let me just hit a couple points. I mean, I think that we do know that certifications are extremely valued by partners, employers. And so if there's someone who's, you know, new to tech or they're looking to change their focus, you know, I have a real particular scenario I was talking to with a customer just the other day where they had a bunch of Oracle DBAs and they've now moved to Azure. And it was, hey, we need that skill and we want to see that validation inclusive of new people we want to hire. So I think it's very valuable for folks that are trying to go get jobs. Additionally, I think that we see it with seasoned developers. Hey, I've been a developer, but I want to show that one of the things we talked about with our certifications is we try to keep them current, meaning of the skills necessary now to play that role. We want to have training and we want to have certification or a validation that the individual, the learner, has those skills if they hold that certification. So even for a seasoned developer, it can be a value to them to show that they are current on the most latest tech, in this example from Microsoft. We also have third-party data. So Global Knowledge, one of our learning partners, has actually talked about the value of certifications, and they've seen an increase in the desire for Microsoft certifications just in the last 2 years. And so I think it's not just there's a value in certification, there's a value in Microsoft certifications on the market today.
Great, thank you. We're getting a couple questions around certification expiration dates. And for those that have been around our program for a while, recertification, can you explain a little bit about the way the current certifications work and any recertification process that's involved?
Well, I may leave people a little bit hanging on this one, but I will say the following, which is the role-based certifications that we launched at Ignite in 2017 or 2018, I can't remember exactly. 2018. Yeah, I almost went way back too far. like Azure Administrator, some of the newer ones, those have expirations of 2 years. And so when we announced them at that time, we pretty much, and the reason we do that is, again, because the certifications are changing more regularly, the skills required. So it makes more sense that certifications have a shelf life, or that may not have been the case in the era of, you know, when software shipped on CDs. And what we're doing right now is we are in the process. So today, the way it works is you would go sit for a new certification exam and re-up that certification. Now, one of the questions I get is, do I have to go to training again? Well, the answer is no. If you've stayed current with Azure as an example, or M365 as another example, your certification, you're on the job, you're likely able to go sit for an exam just because you now have the skills, because you're one of the people playing that role. If not, yes, there's training available through MS Learn for free through a learning partner like we talked about. We're also in the process of looking at a way to do a stay current mode, but we've got nothing to announce just yet. So that's the area where I'm saying I'm probably leaving some folks unsatisfied with my answer, and I'll just apologize for that up front.
And then a quick reminder to everyone, if you had had a certification that was expiring before the end of December, we have gone ahead and extended that for you due to the COVID-19 crisis. So we know that folks don't necessarily have the opportunity to go in and test. And so we have extended those certifications as a reminder.
Point that is a very specific to a group of cert holders. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, we have just about a minute left in our time, Alex. There is one more question that I wanted to address around some kind of accommodations that Microsoft makes related to accessibility when it comes to taking our exams. Can you talk about that process a little bit?
Yeah, so the ability to have accessible certifications is very important for us. And so that's one where we work with Pearson, our exam provider, to accommodate. And so what basically has to happen is the individual just has to contact It's available on the Pearson site, so you can go get that information fairly easily. You can also get it through the certification pages on Microsoft on the steps that folks have to walk through, but we will accommodate for many different accessibility issues for certification.
Perfect, thank you. We're almost done. Anything else to add, Alex?
No, this is awesome. I appreciate it. I like doing these virtual sessions. I only wish I got to see faces, but it's been fun, and I look forward to doing it again. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.